Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christ to living more like Him, but let me say talking to Christ and talking more fully and effectively to each other. This may sound funny to you, but think with me. Isn't it true that in our modern society, with all of our technology and the advent of the internet, that we have tended to lose the face-to-face, eye-to-eye, heart-to-heart contact that can truly bring faith deep and help us to be more faithful as we face the challenges of life? That's the topic today. The Lost Discipline of Conversation. There's a book by that title by Dr. Joanne J. Jung, and she's also our guest today. Dr. Jung is the Associate Professor of Biblical and Theological Studies at Biola University and Chair of the Talbot School of Theology Committee for Online Learning. And so, Dr. Jung, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Campbell.
What provoked you to write this book?
Oh, it's do you have a couple of hours? I came across the English Puritans pretty much by chance. And once I started discovering and reading their primary sources, treatises and sermons, I came to discover their rich theology. And I thought, how wonderful that from our own Protestant history, we have these saints of the past that held to the authority of Scripture and allowed that to impact their lives.
You quote in your book, C.S. Lewis, I love this quote, "We must picture," he says, "these Puritans as the very opposite of those who bear that name today, as young, fierce, progressive intellectuals, very fashionable and up to date." Can you expound on that? What did he mean? That's not the way we think of Puritans today.
Yes, I think with the English Puritans, their past history, they got pretty much of a bad rap. They got bad press both then in the 16th and 17th centuries, and it's carried over to now. But I think I would say of the last few decades, there's been more and more research, more and more reading of the Puritans, the English Puritans, discovering their love for God and their love for God's Word as it would apply to how they lived out their lives, how they would associate and converse and share with their families, with their spouses, with their neighbors, and of course with the extended community, even acquaintances.
And there's something about them we seem to miss today. You bring this out in your book, and it's a means of grace, a means of connecting with God. And I'll just quote once more, but you lift up these words from Puritan John Preston. He writes, "For know that the means without God is but a pen without ink, a pipe without water, a scabbard without a sword." What are these means of grace, and what did they have then that we seem to need to learn more about it and reclaim in our day?
Great question. It's interesting. I use the phrase means of grace more often now than ever before. And the Puritans, I would say, account for that. Perhaps a contemporary term would be spiritual disciplines. I think, though, over the past few years, there's been a little bit of pushback with the phrase spiritual disciplines in that these are things that we must do in order to have a right relationship with God. But as the Puritans would understand and exercise the means of grace, which would include reading their Bibles, prayer, worship, they saw that the means of grace were invitations from God. And so we see a little bit more of the involvement of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in these means of grace. I think Preston picks up on that quite well, that we can do these exercises or activities, but without God, they are meaningless. And so we see the involvement and the responsibility of the Trinity in their invitations to us. And then, of course, our responsibility is to respond, to accept those invitations, to read God's Word, to worship, to be in prayer, and other means of grace. They're invitations to enjoy and to experience and know God's grace even more.
Joanne, you mentioned how Scripture is an important foundation to all this and how our readership lags behind our ownership. That's a good phrase. How do you view Scripture? Why is it important to you? And do you really believe it's God's Word that speaks to us?
I believe that it is God's word and that it speaks to us. I believe this is his special revelation to us in revealing his character, revealing his ways. I often compare this to general revelation, things if you're standing in a night sky and filled with stars, or in Southern California, sitting by the beach and watching the waves. And we can see evidence of God as creator, but only in his word does he reveal himself, his character, his plan, his idea for us. And so I hold scripture very highly, not only for myself, but for my students, for my family. It is, and the Puritans would have understood scripture as their litmus test. They saw their lives measured against what scripture would say.
So using these means of grace, like Bible reading, but listening to God and in prayer and worship and many things. Of course, the focus we're heading toward is something very special in your book about the lost conversation, a discipleship process where we really connect with each other and God. But as we're pressing into this topic, what is different today when we go back to the days of the Puritans? What did they have that we lack? Why are we so, can I say, distracted from these means of grace?
Oh, I think there are a couple of different reasons for this. One is perhaps a lack of Bible study, the lack of really knowing God through his word. And as you mentioned, Bill, about the distraction, we have been so distracted with entertainment, much of it fueled by our own entitlement of being entertained and not engaging with something that requires a bit of effort, does it not, to be with God, spend time with him, and spend time in his word. But along with those distractions are modern conveniences, or I would say inventions and devices that distract us from being with God or engaging in some meaningful conversations. And our conversations have been minimized to, you know, a few words or, you know, just a few comments rather than engaging in a conversation with someone.
So you capitalize on a word that we need to unpack, the word conference. What does that mean? How does it relate to this whole idea of coming to life and our relationship with God and each other?
It can be confusing to use the word conference because nowadays we have sports conferences and conference tables and conference rooms. But as I explore the use of conference as the Puritans used it and exercised it, I saw that these were conversations that blended two essential elements. One was their biblical literacy. And it didn't matter where anyone was on that spectrum of literacy, whether they knew very little about the Bible or God, or whether they were seasoned believers and knew quite a bit and had a growing relationship, a growing knowledge of God. This was combined with what I term as soul care. They really cared for one another. And conference brought these two together. They were conversations in various contexts where biblical literacy and caring for one another's souls were blended. And that made for conversations that were quite meaningful and quite engaging.
Hmm. So this is, I think, the heart, is it not, of what you're wanting us to understand. As you've studied the life of the Puritans, you saw that everybody, the minister, the parishioner, the Christian who was preaching or the one who listened in a pew, but the average person, they all found the importance of what we seem to be losing today, having deep conversation that was natural, but that was spiritual, to allow for growth. Am I hitting it right, kind of the sweet spot of your book?
You have hit the sweet spot.
Okay.
I have found so many, as I was doing my research for my degree, I found so many different contexts, as you mentioned, where conference was utilized. I was searching for the context of small groups. One Puritan would say, we'll meet in groups small enough to afford our doings honestly before men. And so the groups weren't necessarily very large, nor were they very, very small. But as I explored more and more of this thing, this means of grace of conference, I found that it was exercised in a number of various contexts. And in those various contexts, whether it was pastor to pastor, pastor to congregants, congregants among themselves without the pastor around, spouses together in conversation, parents with children, and then, of course, how they would use conference in letters. And so I framed this as distance conferencing. I likened it to today's use of emails or text messages.
That's good. That's good. So you're not saying that technology is a problem in itself. It can be a distraction, but it can also be an advantage if we use it well. And so it's interesting, Joanne, as you are telling us about the need to be less busy and distracted and to focus, whether in a small group, in a family setting, in other settings we create intentionally to know each other and God better, that you also have acknowledged, I think, not just in your writing, but in your own lifestyle, that we can use technology to that end. For example, at Talbot School of Theology, you're on a committee for online learning. Is that correct then? What you're saying is we don't have to destroy our cell phones, just be disciplined in how we use them.
Oh, absolutely. As I oversee this committee, my main and critical contribution is to maintain the quality of education while engaging in a high level of engagement with our students, even in an online course. So I will promote various forms of engagement with our students, asynchronous as well as synchronous. Part of the synchronous aspect is the inclusion of video conferencing with our students. So I promote that highly with our faculty, with their students, with their online students, to engage with them. And I would say to them, well, we may not, as we video conference, we may not see the whole person and to pick up on body language, but we can take advantage of what we do see on the screen. And oftentimes when I video conference with my students in an online course, I will remark about something that I see. They have oftentimes taken or contributed in a video conference in their dorm rooms or in their homes. And I'll ask them about where they are. Just the other evening, a young man was in his dorm room and there was a bicycle behind him. And I commented, is that your bike? He said, yes. And I said, is that just for casual bike riding, or are you a sports enthusiast with bike riding? Are you a mountain biker? And that led to other conversations, which eventually led to a conversation about his church and his pastor. So it was wonderful. It was a great conversation, taking advantage of what we can and do see, but being present with them, being present with one another enough so that we can step into their story and be wider.
It's a challenge, I think, for each of us, and we're going to push this toward application after this message.
Life is a journey, and when we connect our lives to Scripture, it can be truly amazing. And so, Scripture Awakening is launching a brand new Bible study series called Be Next, Amazing Journey. Be Next Bible Study Series answer the What's Next question most people ask after completing our very popular Bible reading program, Bible in 90 Days, or B90. Be Next Amazing Journey is designed to replicate the successful B90 experience. Be Next Amazing Journey features in-depth, biblically sound commentary, all to help you dig deeper into God's Word. Paired with each study, you or your small group can enhance your understanding with video teachings hosted by Dr. William Campbell. Be Next Amazing Journey covers every book in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Be Next is designed to be accessible, economical, and flexible, so we offer it in print, video, and digital formats. This month, with your gift of $30 or more, we will send you our first Be Next Amazing Journey booklet entitled In the Beginning, which covers the entire book of Genesis. Go to scriptureawakening.com and click on the banner ad featuring the Be Next In the Beginning booklet. Go to scriptureawakening.com. Be Next from Scripture Awakening, awakening your world to the power of God's Word.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We're glad you're with us today as we have guest Dr. Joanne J. Chung, and she has written on the lost art of conversation. I've had the experience at times of laughing when maybe I sit in a restaurant and see a married couple, man and woman, sitting hip to hip, and they're both on their cell phones texting to someone outside their room. It's like, you know, they're talking, but not to each other. And what can happen is we become so distracted that we don't go very deep anymore in the manner that really fulfills our lives and the call of God on us. So, Dr. Young, as we think about this, your book wonderfully gives a lot of practical advice and tools and points of application. Hit some highlights for us. What to you is maybe one of the most important things you have learned for application? Where have you seen this idea of conference, of real connectivity through good godly conversation, bring other people to life? It might be you want to hit on several. Maybe there's not one that is most...
thank you for reading my mind. I thought, how do I narrow it down to one? Because the Puritans had exercised this in so many and varied contexts, I can almost pick something up from each of those contexts. I will perhaps approach one, and that is in small groups. And perhaps I will use an example, a real-life, true-life example from one of my former students who moved to Alaska, and her story is in the book. Moved to Alaska, found and became involved in a church, and a small group leader said, you know, we want to do this small group, but I don't know how to begin. And my former student mentioned, you know, I learned this in class, this thing called conference. Why don't we try it? A year later, my friend and former student wrote me a note and just accolade after accolade of this thing called conference and how it built community, how it built intimacy, how the respect and the regard for one another in their context, in their lives, in their life experiences, the highest highs and the lowest lows, in association with how is God working? What is God saying from his word? It was a wonderful experience for them that they continue with. And so for small groups, I cannot speak more highly of the use of conference, again, in contributing to meaningful conversations, undistracted conversations. Hmm. But again, conversations that blend God's word with our life experience. And that's just one, you know, one context, but yeah. There are examples and evidence in the book of parent to child, even in businesses. How can a CEO utilize conference when he's overseeing others under his watch?
Yeah, so, you know, we can tend to think in our modern society that we just have to stop everything to make this work. And you're saying, no, we can, even in our busy lives, use the technology and find ways to connect. While we have to be careful not to be distracted, let's use every opportunity. So you have one chapter titled Distance Conferencing, From Signed Letters to Stream Sunday Services. And I think we all appreciate that because that's part of our world, isn't it? So many churches are streaming services out. Sometimes it's the way we get our best nourishment in the crazy world in which we live. Have you found some good response to that approach?
I have. Sometimes we think of, and this is related to even our online courses, and this is what drove me to explore churches that stream online. And one of the things I found were churches that made an intentional effort to connect with the viewer. So it's not just the viewer watching a stream service, but churches would have a host with that streaming so that as people, viewers would have comments, they could add to the chat room, they could add a comment, and that comment would receive a response. Of course, that is just the initial engagement in a conversation, but the hosts would often ask, if you want further information or if you have other questions, may I offer our help or perhaps some help that the church has to offer. And so it just brings the viewer and the hosts of these stream services a bit closer together, building that kind of community. And I think that's critical in our world. I think we're losing sight and the ability to build community. We're doing pretty well, I think, when the focus is on ourselves. But with regard to building community, I think conference will help.
You have a section on conferencing through God's word. And let's say if somebody says, I'm not a pastor, maybe they're involved in a house church or whatever it is, but they want to do ministry and they want to use the social media. Do you encourage them to do that? And do you have any tips that you've seen might be helpful?
We probably cannot escape the world of social media, but I think one of my favorite words is to redeem. I believe we can redeem the use of social media. Our culture connects via social media, and I would echo perhaps the word that phrase that Sherry Turkle uses, and she goes, I'm not anti-technology, I'm just pro-conversation. And I would agree with that. How can we frame our questions? How can we frame our conversations that encourage greater engagement in them? And so you'll see in the Bible studies that are at the end of the book, you'll see various levels, and perhaps throughout the book, you'll see various levels of engagement. There's the informational, there's the transitional, and then there's the transformational. I'm really hoping that readers will look at these sample questions and ask them, am I stuck at this particular level? How might I get to the next level? How might I move or alter my conversations to move into a more transitional level that would express my care and concern for others? And in so doing, having these meaningful conversations just might lead to an even higher level, and that's a transformational level, transformational level of conversation.
Joan, I kind of pushed you in that direction because I think there are a lot of listeners who really would, they're already using maybe Facebook or another means of social media, and they would like to put more spiritual content into it and even turn it into a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so this is very helpful. The book is helpful. It's got a lot of good tools and insights. And I mean, that's what this radio program is all about. We have conversations ongoing. I really believe in what you're teaching. And so I want to say to the listener, if you could just pause and think, might God use me? Where is the burden of my heart? What are the opportunities at hand? Realize that if you can get people to talk with you, if it can be back and forth, and if you can bring the word and make it central, maybe issues like prayer and worship were appropriate, you can begin taking these ancient pathways and putting light on how they still work today in our context. So Dr. Jung, as you think about the experience of writing this book and now helping people to engage in godly conversation, do you find sometimes it takes work? After all, the title says the lost discipline of conversation, or does it just come naturally? What are your thoughts there?
I think the discipline of conversation for some will take effort because we're not familiar with it. We are a little uncomfortable being present with one another, and we can gauge that by a self-assessment. Do I look at a person's eyes when I speak, or are they darting behind that person? Am I not really engaged in that conversation? So for some of us, it will take effort, and if that could be translated into a little bit of work, then yes, it will always take effort and work to change. So, however, for some, it might be something that they've already done, and now they have a word for it. So I've come across, and friends and students, on all ends of the spectrum, those who are very uncomfortable with having conversations, but they want to grow. They want to make an impact on themselves as well as others in their community. And then at the other end of the spectrum, this is great. Now I know what to call this. I've been conferencing all along, but now I have a little bit more of a guided perspective on how to even improve on my conversations with others.
Excellent. If somebody wants to get a hold of your book, should they just Google it, find it on Amazon? What do you recommend?
Yes, they can find it on Amazon.
And it's published by Zondervan. The title again is The Lost Discipline of Conversation. A subtitle, Surprising Lessons in Spiritual Formation Drawn from the English Puritans. So in closing, I'd like to ask you to give us maybe the name of one of your favorite Puritans and give us a word to challenge us. Tell us why it might be good for us to pull up some of these names of people that push us back to the back a couple hundred years. Why should we read their works?
Why should we read their works? Well, for me, over the past 15 years, the English Puritans have become some of my favorite old dead friends. They richly and beautifully describe ways and in their writings that reflect sound theological truths. Perhaps one of my favorite English Puritans was Thomas Watson, and he writes so beautifully, again, descriptively, of how I can relate to God, how I can relate to others. And it's as if he were sitting right here next to me, describing to me my own life and how I can be challenged, how I can be encouraged, and how I can make an impact for Christ in the world, starting with one conversation at a time.
Excellent. Some of us have read Pilgrim's Progress, and that's an example of a book that's impacted so many lives. Of course, written as an allegory, it works well for all ages, but there's so many good writings, and we thank you for adding to it by your book and now taking this time. Thank you, Dr. Jung.
Dr. Campbell, if I can just add one more thing. At the end of part one of Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan lists 9 comments as he uses his protagonist, Christian, and Christian is talking to Hopeful. And he lists 9 things as Hopeful asks, what is it that makes people backslide and fall away? And if the reader were to read the 3rd and 4th comment there, Bunyan actually mentions they refrain from or they avoid godly conference. And I don't know how many times thousands and thousands of readers have kind of assumed what conference is or was, and I've just taken that word and unpacked it for us. So that conference of blending biblical literacy and care for one another's souls together in a conversation.
What a perfect another close dessert. To this interview, to bringing that out. I can see why you wanted to. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.